I just really loved the format of radio as a child. Like I always thought radio is like the coolest thing. And I don't know why, because I was definitely, I grew up in the 90s, I was born in the late 80s. It wasn't that radio was the only medium we had. I had a computer as I was 13, and the internet started to happen and all these things. So I was exposed to way more modern things, but I remember distinctly radio was a big deal. And there's a few reasons for it, but I was definitely listening to the radio every single day. And so when podcasting became like an available tool, I was like, well, this is kind of like radio, but on demand. How can I be part of that? Podcasting has helped me with that in the sense that I didn't censor myself, or I didn't delete episodes where I'm like, I don't agree with what I said there. And that journey actually helped me quite a bit to, to just be out there, be expressed, let myself express, not stifle or censor what I have to say or how I ask questions or who I invited, right? And there are few things that are more purposeful than coming together with the right set of people and diving deeper into one's own evolution, one's own journey, and also creating like takeaway things that then infuse the way we live life, the way we play business, the way we build the world around us. So there will be more. This is not the end. This is just a wrapping at 360 degrees of the circle of regeneration for Green Planet, Blue Planet podcast. Welcome to this episode of Green Planet, Blue Planet podcast. I am here today with Hope Peterson. Welcome, Hope.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, this is a special episode because it's episode number 360, and it is, for the time being, the last episode of Green Planet, Blue Planet. And I am so delighted to have you here today because I think we're going to turn seats and change positions. So you will ask me questions, and I can share about Green Planet, Blue Planet, and what this project has been for me the last 7 years, and what's going on in my life to pause it for a while and all that goodness. So again, welcome, Hope.
Thank you, Julian. We are flipping the tables, and instead of asking questions, how do you feel about answering them? You feeling good?
Slightly nervous because I don't know what you're gonna ask. You already flipped the table when I said like, so what are you gonna ask me? And you're like, no, I'm not gonna tell you up front. And that's definitely fun.
Well, I have some questions up my sleeve, and it's really easy for me to come up with questions to ask you. You are a deep, thoughtful, soulful human who I've had the pleasure of collaborating with. So I've got some things up my sleeve, but let's begin at the beginning, shall we? I want to hear, because I've never heard this story, Julian. I realized, what was your vision? Because anyone who's listening, let me just tell you, Julian is an expert at casting visions. It's one of his greatest gifts, one of his many greatest gifts. He literally spans it out. You can almost feel it and touch it. And I'm wondering if you can walk us through where you were, what happened to you when you had this vision of having a podcast 7 years ago.
So to set context, I just Googled this. In 2024, now that we're recording this episode, there's about 4.3 million podcasts. And in 2017, there was 0.3 million podcasts, meaning only 300,000 podcasts. And it was pretty early on that wave, you know? I mean, today it feels like there are so many different podcasts with different topics and themes, and people joke like everyone and their dog or their grandma has a podcast, and even that's kind of true. I mean, in a certain way, it's by far nowhere where YouTube channels is at. But I remember it being like people were like, "What, you're doing a podcast? What is that?" And that's definitely changed in those 7 years. But what I was at personally was I just really loved the format of radio as a child. Like I always thought radio is like the coolest thing. And I don't know why, because I was definitely, I grew up in the 90s, I was born in the late 80s. It wasn't that radio was the only medium we had. I had a computer as I was 13, and the internet started to happen and all these things. So I was exposed to way more modern things, but I remember distinctly radio was a big deal. And there's a few reasons for it, but I was definitely listening to the radio every single day. And so when podcasting became like an available tool, I was like, well, this is kind of like radio, but on demand. How can I be part of that?
Can I ask a question? Yeah. I just suddenly thought of Julian 7 years ago thinking, I want my own radio show. Like a little kid being like, I get the power to have my own radio show. Who am I going to have on this radio show? Did that flash through
that
your
mind? That definitely flashed through my consciousness. So, you know, think of it this way, that when I was a child, like not 7 years ago, but when I was actually seven, me and my friends, we would record cassettes, like actual cassettes on a cassette recorder. And we made like funny voices and like, you know, dumb, silly little things. We were pretty good children. We were little angels in, you know, a suburb of Germany next to the forest. So it wasn't like that we were total douches, but we were definitely like, we thought we were mighty funny. And we made these little recordings and would listen to them and crack up and be like our own version of the Muppet Show, you know? And definitely 7 years ago, I was reminded of the time. In fact, one of my friends digitized all of those old recordings. And I just remember, like, yeah, as a kid, I really loved making videos and I loved making cassettes. And, you know, people always say, what was in you when you were a child? What did you really want to do? What was effortlessly in you? There's something there. If you remember it, there's something there. And so I went back to that time and I was like, yep, having my own radio show would be mighty cool, you know? And so I started out on a journey with the mission of just, I wanted to meet, you know, I was part of a multitude of different groups and communities and organizations back then, and some of which I like definitely left behind because I was like, wow, this is a big farce. But I wanted to meet some of the world's like impact creators, people that make change, people that bring positivity to the world, not just through words and thought, but with their projects, with their businesses, with their communities. And so I went out on the mission to find them somewhere between business, arts, you know, authorship, like people that were writing, people that were building businesses, people that were, you know, creating art that changes the world. So that was my onset. That was the beginning of this journey. And, you know, 7 years is quite a long time, to be honest. To this day, every single time I'm in an episode, there is this moment when I remember that beginning intention. You know, when you're interviewing, there's a lot of listening happening. Then you ask questions and then you listen, right? And so to this day, I have like a short moment where I'm like, this is pretty cool. I'm here with this person right now and I'm just getting to know, I'm getting to follow my own curiosity into the rabbit holes of that person's story, into the depth of that person's story. And so I'm just super grateful for this journey. I mean, there's a lot more to it, but I'll land it there for now.
I love that. I love your connection to your childhood and those initial sparks. And I would say, you know, knowing you, you have a very strong voice. And I wonder how much you could speak to this, obviously podcasting with guests, you're listening, and we're going to get to that. How did your podcast help you develop your voice? Like some people write, some people do different things to hone in on their voice, to share their message. How did podcasting develop your voice, Julian?
That's a fantastic question. Honestly, I think learning by doing and picking it up when it goes wrong is the short answer here. There's probably a bunch of episodes, if I were to go back, I would not even agree with myself, or I would be like, oh, well, what did I say there? You know, and there's something between like the, you know, and everyone feels this, there's like embarrassment for who you used to be, or this like need to censor your old self. And podcasting has helped me with that in the sense that I didn't censor myself, or I didn't delete episodes where I'm like, I don't agree with what I said there. And that journey actually helped me quite a bit to just be out there, be expressed, let myself express, not stifle or censor what I have to say or how I ask questions or who I invited, right? And I think there's something about that I want to make that point here in this moment is, you know, we live in a world where I mean, you're in Canada right now. I lived there for a long time. Like, you can get censored for saying the wrong things in like countries that we think of as like modern democracies, right? And, I think that's pretty fucked up. And so practicing my own expression and fearlessly putting it out there, if it is well received, if it is poorly received, if people listen to it, if people boo for it, if, you yourself disagree years later, there's something about that that I think is part of the beauty of podcasting and the medium of podcasts, is that people get to stand up and speak up, or practice that at least, right? Sure, I get to do this in my own living room today through a phone screen with you. So it's not quite the same as speaking up in front of a crowd of 1,000 people. And, my podcast, even though I have definitely shared about how to build a better world and had a lot of guests that do this, I largely stayed away from political topics because I just find that rabbit hole both, it can be fascinating, but it can also be quite the bore because these things don't really always move the world. It's more like a lot of what we don't want, And so it's helped me to just be expressed hope. That's the gist of it. It helped me to just allow myself to be expressed and not, censor what's coming through. And especially through this COVID window, that was an interesting one, 2020, 2021, yeah. Where the whole world.
Did you podcast all the way through?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I never stopped. Yeah. I mean, okay. 360 episodes okay. In 7 years, you do the math. I think the last 2 years, I only did like one a week. In between, I had like 2 to 3 a week, And here's what it really like, what got me high on podcasting for quite a while was just meeting all these awesome people myself and creating like a 45 minute, 60 minute, 90 minute, 2 hour window between them and me, a part of which is recorded, a part of which lives on the internet. And, having the opportunity to build a connection, to listen to someone and learn from someone, to grow as a person, to grow my listening capacity, and to put it out there and get people to like basically critique it and tell you like, I love it or I don't,
Oh, I mean, that's one of the reasons I gravitated to you was your bold voice, was your ability to say what was on your mind, no matter what. I leaned in because that's few and far between. I would say that I listen to a lot of podcasts and still expert podcasters don't always lead with pure honesty and authenticity. I would also say that your listening skills, I'm meeting you at the latter end of your 7 years, but you have some pretty amazing listening skills, not just in like, when can you speak next? When can you cue a question, but listening beyond the surface. What we sometimes talk about micro truths, you can start to smell them. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about hearing what's not being said or what listening is meant to you over this journey.
Yeah, thank you for that beautiful setup. I mean, just really grateful to be with you in this moment here and you like delving deeper. I mean, the short answer to that is we all speak a lot in a nonverbal way, right? We communicate nonverbally. And even through the screen, you can feel that. You can actually, the more you slow down and just focus on your breathing, you can start kind of leaving your own mind's self-importance of like, oh, what do I have to say next? And just actually like people say in certain circles, like listen from the heart, when you actually do that, what happens for me is I start picking up on the cues the other person is giving me that are nonverbal. And sometimes it's right, sometimes it's wrong. I don't think it needs to be overstretched, but that's the short of it, is there are nonverbal cues. And for a while, if you go back to like episode 100 to 200 or something, I also really enjoyed when there were spaces in the episode, like when we didn't just talk back and forth, which...
Silence.
Yeah.
Like pauses.
Just pauses, yeah, huh. Yeah. And, I mean, again, just like I didn't censor earlier self-expressions, I don't fully even agree with that anymore. I love when a conversation is lively. I love when people talk a little bit over each other. I think there's passion in that, I think we can politically be too politically correct with how things should be done rather than just like taking it how it is and then moving it from there, right? You know, there's a few more things here. I actually, halfway in between, I hired a coach for me about her work is helping form the voice, and not for singing, but for speaking. And that was an interesting chapter, mainly because I realized that in my mother tongue, German, and in English, which this podcast is in, my tendency is to kind of move back into the brain quite a bit faster. And when I speak Spanish or Portuguese, more Latin languages, I notice that I'm not hanging out in my mind as much. And I would feel other people's heart much easier, and I would feel my own heart easier, which I know it is pretty far out there, but you know, speaking multiple languages, these are the things that sometimes occur to you. And so, and I noticed that when I'm at a party or when I'm at a, like an event or a conference and all the languages get spoken that I have access to, you know, many more, because I only know like, you know, four or five, but when all the languages I have access to get spoken, there's this like this incredible wave that I can start surfing. And I know a few people that do that, which is like you jump between the languages and you start realizing it's all just a stream of consciousness, right? It's not really thinking that puts things into logical bits and then the logical bit gets transferred. It's like a wave of understanding, and you just express in the language that you have access to. And if three people enter that all speak Spanish, the wave might change from English to Spanish, but it's the same wave. And so I hired her understand that.
Yeah.
I hired her to help me understand that and help me like slow down so I would feel that same feeling when I speak German or English. Mm. And she's worked with, you know, Hollywood actors and like Broadway performers in New York. And it was just really funny because I thought, you know, I didn't really know what I was up for, but it was basically like a lot of yoga and stretching to just get into the body first.
And breath work, I mean, with the yoga, obviously.
Yeah, like pranayama more than breath work in the sense of like, you know, slow breathing, finding awareness. And anyway, long story short, it was one of those moments where that ultimately shaped my listening capacity. So it's quite paradoxical. I hired someone to help me enunciate better in the short of it. And it changed my listening capacity because I had to learn to listen to my own voice, where it is resonant in the space. And then when you start doing this, you do that for everyone else you speak to as well. You start listening, like, where is this person speaking from right now? Is it, am I hearing, you know, and if anyone is into opera, you know, and my first episode ever was with my dear friend, John, who is an opera singer.
That was your first
one? Yeah, John came back a few times. Oh. We started this together. At the time, we met quite a bit, you know, in different places. And he was like, Julian, you should totally do a podcast. And I was like, well, you know, would you be my first guest?
In his voice. Yeah.
But that's why we're laughing about it, because as an opera singer, he's extremely aware of where his voice is happening from.
Yeah. I'm picking up on all of this because it's not something I have explored. I would say I love using my voice, but I've been rather lazy, and I certainly don't speak five languages like you do. But that's so cool about the surfing the wave. I want to kind of shift that surfing of the wave to a little bit more practical, pragmatic. Mm-hmm. How did you surf the wave of being amidst, say, year two, year three of this 7-year stretch, and feel like, I want to reflect back? Have you done like reflection points over the 7 years of like meeting up with your producer or meeting up with people you work with and say, you know, could you give me feedback or let's do a review? What did that look
yeah,
like?
Yeah, that's a great rabbit hole to go into.
Tell me. I'm really curious.
Do you mind if I add one more thing to the last bit here? So just to be clear about this, like surfing the wave, you know, like I've heard people say before, like, you can speak as many languages as you want. The main language is energy. Well, that is surfing the wave. Mm. It's reading the energy of what's actually happening, right? So, and it doesn't matter if you speak one language or 20. It's about feeling the energy wave that passes through you and through people, and learning how to either be with it or actually surf it or let it express through you, which is, again, singing can feel like that to a practiced singer. But you asked me about reflection and like, you know, how to how that happened across those years. And yeah, I mean, you know, different stages of this podcast brought on different things. If you Google it right now, and this would change the moment I stop publishing episodes, but right now, if you go to listennotes.com, which is one of those platforms that ranks podcasts, I think we're at 2.5% of podcasts, which means like we're doing better than 97.5% of people out there, you know, which is it's beautiful. It's quite an honor. It's a way of getting feedback, is to understand how many listeners do you have, how many people are tuned in, how many people share it. And, you know, it was always the hardest part for me, because there's a deep intention that I did this to meet amazing people and to inform the growing audience in a way that I just wanted to introduce those people. And when I started doing those first reflection episodes, I felt a bit awkward. Like, you know, if you go back, definitely the ones I would have liked to delete, you know?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Just me talking alone in a room, like philosophizing about things when I don't have one person to bounce off from. It's not really my design, you know? For those of you that are into the gene keys or the human design, I mean, it's just not my design. I really, really thrive in a one-on-one setting. I also thrive in a small group, like, you know, round tables or I'm a decent public speaker, but I don't actually love just being the sage on the stage. I don't, you know? Mm-hmm. And this is something interesting I've learned about myself in reflecting about this podcast and what's worked, what hasn't worked, is the purest part of my intention was meeting amazing people that do amazing things and follow my own curiosity to learn about them and project that, broadcast that, publish that into the world. That was the purest kind of essence of why I started this. And every time I found myself in those shoes or in those seats, those were the episodes that did the best. Those were, you know, the conversations that people would come to me and be like, I listened to that conversation. That was really good, you know, or I learned something there. And so, yeah, that part still kind of tickles my fancy even 7 years later. I'm like, yeah, I would be honored to do more of that, you know, in whatever way, shape or form it is. But just me speaking about what I've learned the last, you know, 100 episodes, not so much. I mean, that's why we're here together today. So I can bounce over you.
I know your design and I appreciate it. I'm so curious about you. You and I only met almost a year ago, and you, every time I have a conversation with you, you open up a new box, a new portal of knowing. And yeah, I love that point of riding the energy waves through our voice, through our listening. Now, when I listen to you, I hear a very loyal, dedicated person. And you've been loyal and dedicated for 7 years to this project. You've got some other loyalties and other dedications emerging we may get to later. But would you say that you see yourself like that in this project? Like there was a loyalty, a dedication that you needed to keep feeding it?
Big time. I'll share something that I'm not sure I've ever shared publicly, but especially in those first 3 years, that dedication to at least publishing one a week was like the backbone and structure I needed to keep going with everything else I was doing. What I mean with that is, you know, for those of you that are listening that are, you know, fully employed by someone, that provides a lot of structure. If you're fully employed and you're in a 9-to-5 or you work for a multinational company, or I remember those days, this is a long time ago for me, but like 15 years ago or so, I, you know, worked for BMW and Nike, and picking up the phone being like, hello, this is Julian with Nike, you know, it portrays this authority that is ultimately pretty fake, because I'm not Nike, but I remember that feeling of people on the other side being like, oh, hello, you know, like their tone of voice would change, their energy, their demeanor would change, because they're now like talking to someone important that works for an important company. And when I made that step into self-employment in like 2012, which is, you know, 12 years ago, so quite a bit, but, you know, that confidence is something you need to basically bring to the table, and you need to believe in yourself more than you doubt, you know? Mm-hmm. And I generally don't have a big deal, like a big problem with that, but it's not that it comes every day in just the same way. And so when I started podcasting, I just transitioned from, you know, working under contract with different startups in Victoria, in Canada, as well as in, you know, San Francisco for a short moment. And that was fun. And I did, you know, things I knew how to do. And in one way or other, a lot of value was created. And I learned a lot, you know, because not everything worked out. But when I left that, I started the podcast right around the same time. And then I started my own consulting and coaching business. And so in that beginning phase, it was extremely useful for me to have a thing that no matter if I had 20 clients or two clients, mm-hmm. or zero clients, right? Because those phases happen as well at the beginning. I knew what I was doing. No air quotes here. I knew what I was doing in the sense that, like, well, I was doing a podcast this week. You know, let me reach out to someone else I think is amazing to bring them on to have a conversation about something that I find interesting, at least, right? And so it allowed me to do something and stay focused. And you asked about loyalty, to be loyal to a part of me that continued to be expressed, that continued to be seen, that continued to be out there. And so it really helped me to do it that way. And yeah, I mean, generally I'm a rather, you know, committed person. I get very determined when I am in the lineup for something.
Really?
Yeah. How do you know?
I know. You're very determined and very committed. And also you can pivot within that, but that solid container is there. And you're such a people person. You are such a people person. I can only imagine like what a networking connection journey it's been with the people that have been your guests, and also people who maybe didn't make it on as guests, but you, in your connection of you should speak to Julian about his podcast, ended up coming into your world for work or relationship.
All of these things, right? I want to point out one specific cohort that, you know, I talked to one of the co-founders, and we were part of another group. You know, I've always been part of different groups and communities and tribes, and always told people that as well in the very early days, like find your groups. Like you need to, mm-hmm. you need to expose yourself to, you know, peers and people that think differently than you. They might want the same mm-hmm. thing, but you know, the biggest risk of this modern social media age, and I think we're about to leave it, to be honest with you. I think enough stuff's happening in the outer world that people are like, I need to find more people than my Facebook stream or my Instagram stream can allow in.
I'm hearing it.
Right.
Every week.
Exactly. And so, but we've created these for better and for worse, these silos of information where you just get feedback loops of the same, right? And so a little earlier in the journey, or like halfway through the journey, I was in a cohort called the Science Science Studio, co-initiated through the Buckminster Fuller Institute. And, you know, tons of people I knew here and there. And then they were like, hey, you should be part of this first cohort. We're running this 10-year, this decade-long design science studio, you know, an original idea from Buckminster Fuller. And these people just, you know, set forth to make cohorts of 144 people every year and bring, like, creatives together, right? And like anything, some of that is amazing, some of that not so much, but that's just how life is, right? Like not everything is only going to be incredible for everyone. But the reason why I'm bringing up this cohort, you know, is that was the first time that a whole group of people saw my intention, you know, probably more passively than actively. They weren't like, Julian, we see your intention, you know, about bringing together, you know, green planet, blue planet, bringing together movers and shakers for more than sustainability. I think this should have maybe been the tagline I used from the start, more than sustainability, you know, in the sense that in the public eye and any like event I went or place I spoke at or, you know, press I got, people always like, and in the sustainability niche, green planet, blue planet. I'm like, no, that's not really what I'm doing.
Jargonaise.
Right?
Get me on.
Yeah. And so this more than sustainability of like, what is a healthy planet? What is regeneration? What does it mean to heal one's own inner world and then to build an outer world that is actually, you know, allows more people to thrive, you know? That's the quest I've really been on. And in this Design Science Studio cohort, I feel like that was the first larger group, 144 people, where I was like, wow, everyone gets this. And this, it felt fringe, like it felt creatives, you know, it felt like people that are just like doing amazing out there things between like, you know, Art Basel and Burning Man kind of thing, you know, and
all different ages and all different cultures.
Lots of different ages, a few different cultures. Yeah. I mean, it was still like a fairly American cohort, and, you know, it was, I think, like Black Lives Matter time. And so we definitely like completely got sidetracked by all the political correctness of the year.
Right.
But all the internationals were like, hey, this is great. And like, yeah, we're all for like everyone being honored in every way. But like, we're more than America. Right. And so that was an interesting one to experience within that cohort. But because like this is quite, you know, it's quite a topic, actually. If you bring people from all generations and all nationalities in, a lot of the en vogue political topics and political correctness topics are suddenly like, they're not as important anymore. It's more like, hey, like there's a lot more going on here. We have someone from South America, from Africa, from Southeast Asia. They all grew up in poverty. Like, let's stop talking about our modern European American nitpickery. But my point was about regeneration. And, you know, the word regenaissance was coined in this group. I don't think any of us individually can claim that we coined that word. And maybe someone said it before, but it was pretty much 2020, end of 2020. Right around when I met Basil, who was, you know, in the background of this, producing, recording, and editing. Shout out to Basil for doing amazing work for many years, you know. But the word Regenaissance was coined as a group, and I've heard it and seen it, you know, in the last 3 years, 4 years, quite a bit. I mean, it's still not like a word everyone uses, but this idea of like a renaissance, like a rebirthing. A modern rebirthing of regeneration. And so for a short moment there, I was like, this is just so cool. Like, it's entering the mainstream, or it's entering people's perspective. And to be honest with you, I think it actually has. Now, I'm not saying, you know, I did that. I don't think I can say that by any means. But I definitely had the intention to contribute to it from the very first day, from 7 years ago. And so when I see, you know, thousands of listeners on an episode, or, you know, I don't know, like being ranked within the top 2.5% of podcasts globally. What I really think about personally in my own room, you know, when I'm alone, is like, this is so cool. Like, there's a whole movement of people, you know, not because of me, but just like me, that is getting it, that is like feeling it, that is looking for more than, you know, catchphrases or buzzwords, or more than sustainability. That is like, let's do more than just do the political correct thing. Let's do something that actually makes this a more beautiful world.
I love that. And I what an honor it must have been for you to literally put your finger on the pulse of evolving culture, and through your conversations, through your own voice developing, and just tuning in with your ear, you have being part of that evolution, guiding it, participating. What an honor. Do you feel this level of pride? I feel pride for you.
That's sweet. I just Googled Evolving Culture Podcast. I'm not sure it exists yet. Another great name. Yeah, I mean, let me be super, super honest with you. I struggle with that, actually, personally. Like, I know I'm a confident man, and I know what I'm good at, and I know also what I'm not so good at. And then there's a lot I don't know. But I do have the right people around me, and I always had, you know, I very much thrive in relationships, and
who not how.
Yeah, who not how, in that sense, you know, or who and then how. And so with the right who's, I was definitely aware that what I'm doing is like, it's appreciated. It's being seen. It's out there. It's, you know, it's not the most famous podcast. And there's a part of me that, you know, would have that ambition. And then there's a part of me that's like, and it doesn't matter. Like, as long as it's like people are tuning in, and I'm following the purity of that intention of curiosity. But am I proud? In German, we say jein, you know, like yes and no. Jane. The Australians say jane.
Yes,
like,
and no at the same time.
Yeah,
jein.
Yeah.
Like not nine, but jein.
Jein.
Oh.
And so in the sense that I'm also a very self-critical person. And so when I see that, like, there's a couple thousand, my first thought is like, what am I doing that it's not 100,000? If it's the top 2.5%, I'm like, what am I doing wrong that it's not the top percent, right? And that's not where I hang out, just to be clear. Like, I don't get stuck there. I've worked a lot, and I have a lot of different practices to get unstuck and surrender back into the flow, right? And so there's an amount of like, yeah, this is great. I did a thing. And then there's a part of me that's like, could I relax even more in how amazing this thing I contributed is, rather than it needing to be bigger? And the answer is yin. Like, sometimes yes, sometimes no, right? And I think it's just me wanting to be honest here and share the, like, the human perspective of it. And just to be super clear, like, I don't even agree with my own statement here, in the sense that not everything needs to be in the top three to be a success. Like, the comparative culture we live in is a big part of what prevents a more beautiful world to happen. But I can't help myself to also have some of those thoughts and some of those filters, since I'm a part and a product of this world just as much, right?
Oh, I appreciate your honesty. There you go. You're laying it out. I also think that ending on the 360th episode might be a pause. It might be a pause. And sometimes it's hard to see when you're in it, whether it's a project you're ending, a relationship you're ending, whatever. You're going to have different perspectives when you land it and leave it for a while or forever. Because maybe you want to say something to that before I dive in. No?
Lots of thoughts, but I'm going to let you keep going.
Okay. You and I both love people a lot.
Yes.
And I was really excited to talk to you. I'm not going to ask you who your favorite guest was, but I wonder if there were any poignant moments that took you aback. It could be like extreme emotion. It could have been a surprise. A guest you signed up or organized and they were totally not what you expected, in a good or not so good way. We don't have to name names, or you can, but I'm really curious to hear what took you aback, what surprised you from the people that you met along the way.
I like that question. All of what you just said and more. So I think what took me aback most is that when I am really present in an episode, like in the moment right now, you know, where I see like your face big on the screen and like my face is like the little tiny blip in the screen here. I'm on a phone, so it's, you know, it makes it a little smaller, but, you know, I often record it on laptops. The moment I really drop in, every single person has something insightful, powerful, and authentic to share. You know, some people, I mean, they share things where you're like, okay, I mean, I could have read that on the first Google search. But when you listen longer and you ask another question, you will get out of them something that they didn't share somewhere else, or something that, you know, they shared just because of the connection of the moment. And that is my favorite part about podcasting. I think that's also people's favorite part with the podcasters they love most, or the most famous podcasters out there, is that you can see that the answers, the point of views, are directly influenced by who is having the conversation.
Yes.
And there's something really alive about that. And so my favorite part about that, or, you know, the poignant part about that, is that I've learned a lot about that in the last 360 interviews. You know, that's a bunch of hours, you know, with like researching and editing and publishing, like that's a lot of hours, you know? And so it shows you the beauty of humanity. It showed me the beauty of humanity in a, you know, in a, like a small window, but it definitely let me access that. I also learned that, and this is quite interesting, because I'd say there's a few things I've learned about myself where I'm like definitely a few steps ahead of 7 years ago. And so you said earlier, like you appreciated about me how honest and direct I speak about things and don't hold back. I have held back, though, within the public format, actually, because I always try to be like the mediator, facilitator around topics, rather than being like, you know, I don't know. I'll just say it right now. What happened during COVID was bullshit. Like, what did we all do there? Like, in that time, I didn't say that. Mm-hmm. I already thought it, but I tried to just not talk about it and just focus on the person and their beautiful contribution to the world.
Right.
Today, I would probably do that very differently. But I've learned to sharpen my opinions and own them. And now I can speak about them way more than ever before. But it took those 7 years of consistently being on the chair of interviewing to understand that.
Just quickly on the opinions piece, I feel like one of the approaches you have is to know when to share your strong, sharpened opinion. And when it really is not really going to be either a good time or not appropriate, but you pick your timing.
Well, thank you. I mean, that's how I see it. I mean, but then the timing of a public episode is very different than the timing of, like, we're here with 10 people or we're here with 50 people. And within this context, people understand what I'm saying. In a public episode, everything can be pulled out of context. I mean, people make reels of like 10 seconds or someone says something that if you listen to the 5 minutes, it means something different. But that 10 second snippet sounds like pretty dumb, you know? So that was one part that came out through being exposed to so many people. I mean, look, what I most love about all the guests I had on is I could genuinely feel their passion for what they were doing. And when that passion, you know, I'm thinking of, like, I can name some names, but like the obvious ones, like the artists, right? Like Esther Stone or Amanda Sage or, you know, many other, you know, Autumn Sky, many other artists I had on where I'm like, I can just feel that you are so clear on what you're doing because this is the lifeblood of you. And then from there, having a conversation is just the easiest thing ever. There's no double guessing. There's no like, oh my God, I'm being interviewed. There's just that person.
Their signal is super strong.
Clear signal, clear mirror, right? Like their mirror isn't murky. They're like, nope, I'm here to do this. And comes with challenges, but this is what I do, right? And I love that. I like it. It's inspiring. It taught me things, right?
Any tears? Did you find yourself like asking questions or going into conversation with the guest and like you are a really amazing mirror, like feeling their emotion and being brought to tears, or no, never?
Not so much. No, I mean,
no.
I can be pretty composed. So, you know, you know this about me. It's not that I don't cry. I mean, of course I cry every now and then, but I have an awareness over like, this is a public moment, even though I'm just having it in my own living room. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fair enough. And maybe an older version of myself can like tear up.
I hope to know you. Let it roll. Like, I hope to know you when you're papery and wrinkly, which is very far from now, but just seeing how that evolves. And laughter. I'm sure there was
so much laughter behind the scenes on episodes, and just, you know, like, again, like my favorite part, and I gave my very best to make it as international and relevant as I can. But, you know, I already had a pretty big scope with like regeneration, a more beautiful world, like green planet, blue planet, you know, my own playful approach to give people an image that like we live on a planet that is in its healthiest form. It's vibrant. It's green. It's blue. You know, it's rivers, forests, animals, like, and this is a pretty big scope. I realized that halfway in, I'm like, man, if I made a smaller niche, it would be much easier to like win in that niche, so to speak.
That's interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that part of the journey, you know, it has been with me personally from the beginning of like, how much am I just doing it because this is what's pulsating in my lifeblood, so to speak, what's like beating in my heart, what I'm connected to, and how much am I also wanting to be relevant to the audience out there? And if you look at a lot of the top performing podcasters, what they're extremely good at is they understand relevance. They understand what people click. They understand why people tune in. They understand to niche in from the naming of their podcast to the naming of episodes. And a lot of them have teams who help them do that because, you know, everyone's different. And so, you know, in this modern media world, we are equally a product of how this media world works, as well as how we think we choose freely everything. We don't really choose so freely. We choose based on the algorithms of YouTube and Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And right. And so within that, different things are more relevant. And I definitely have to say, like, naming the podcast Green Planet, Blue Planet was way more fringe and way more like big scope and just like a playful image. The good side of it, though, is it set me up for just very authentic conversations and laughs with those people that you just, you know, asked about, like being on with one of my latest episodes with Bruce Lipton, for example. And, you know, he just gets it. I think he's almost 80 now or just turned 80. And at the end of the episode, he said it, I think he even said it in the recording, but he definitely made a point to say it after we stopped recording. He's like, what you're doing is so important because you're giving a voice to people like me that share a message that wasn't able to be shared 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. And he said it very genuine. He didn't say it like a script. And I hope he says that to every single person he's on a podcast with, because it's true for everyone. But he saw that and he sees that. And I met a lot of people like that, where they have a message and there's a level of like, this is my message, or a level of self-importance about their message. And that's okay, you know, that's all right. But in this, like, in between space, right before recording, right after recording, when the message wasn't being recorded anymore, in their humanness, it is nice to meet people. It is nice to see, like, when people take off the makeup and they're like, you know, and I think that's why people love podcasts, is because you can take off the makeup within the episode, right? Like,
you're serving. I mean, from Bruce Lipton's words, I'm sure to many, you have offered a service as a platform for people on a mission. Totally. And you and I have also discussed, in this serving, you like to break the rules. You really like to break the rules. And I wonder how, you know, being a rule breaker and doing things your own way in the podcasting land, and also just picking up that thread of talking about marketing and the world of marketing and following certain rules and being aware of the relevance to, you know, how the game is played. How has that been, writing, being a rule breaker, and also knowing you are in a system?
Yeah. I guess this is a perfect time to also talk about what the thing you and I just did together. Help me land it there. I guess there's different ways to break the rules and play with the rules. Again, I think this conversation is really, when it comes to podcasting, about finding that kind of that part of the scale where you're just in that perfect equilibrium. And I learned a lot about that in these 7 years, in the sense that, look, I do like to break the rules. And for me, just like leaving, you know, solidly paid positions and starting my own thing in another country, in another language, starting my own podcast in English, which is not my mother tongue, that's already breaking the rules. That's already me just literally making it up as I go, right?
Yeah.
And making it up as you go and being reflected by, I mean, it's a page on the internet, but that you're doing it within the top 5%, the top 3% of people. That's a beautiful feedback of like, me breaking the rules really works for me, you know? And so there's a part of that. And then there's another part where it's like, well, breaking the rules can also mean playing with the rules. And when you play with the rules, you get smarter and smarter how you dish things up. And I don't think I've been horrible at that. But again, like, the reflections I've gotten is more than sustainability, regeneration, more beautiful world. Interview-based content on a label that's called Green Planet, Blue Planet is a bit more fringe than it is to, you know, name it like something that's just identifiable within 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And so, yes, I've broken the rules of how to play the game of life, and I hopefully have inspired many people to do the same. But I definitely also am still inspired by others who play with the rules in a way where I'm like, wow, you are literally winning the game because you now play with the rules and make up your own rules. And now this is the new standard, right? And this is something interesting about podcasting, is like, it's become a new standard. I mean, think of the top, I mean, Joe Rogan's podcast, just to mention it here, he has more than double the amount of listeners than the second best podcast out there. It is
double.
Yeah, he's so far on that top. And I think a reason for that, well, for one, he's been going for way more than 7 years, but is also because, you know, there is this uniqueness about this format that wasn't really there before. And as we as a society have carved it out, like, think of it. This is something that came up in just one of the latest episodes here. We have evolved as a society from, you know, like word of mouth stories, oral transmission of stories and mythology, to the written word, to the printed word, to censoring the written word.
Yeah.
Right? Like the written word turned into the internet and the newspapers and then the internet. And then that seems like a free bubble, but it's kind of a controlled bubble. And this is still something we are all working on together to continue to make it a free bubble. And so, you know, what's freer than written word? Spoken word. Because it travels faster. It's harder to control.
And the energy piece, where there is a frequency coming across, not just what's being said, but how it's being said and the frequency that signal is sending out.
Yeah. Huge. What you're saying is huge, because like we all know this moment you read an email or you read a text and you're like, what is that person saying? And you interpret their tone into them, into it. And then 3 days later, if you read it again, you're like, no, they didn't actually say it in that tone. They were just matter of fact. And I took it personally or whatever. Right. So written word is very different.
And I also think there's a paucity or a lack of opportunities for younger humans or just humans in our everyday busy lives to, unless they're listening to podcasts or really diving into dialogue and discussion with peoples who have different opinions than them, to really play in their head, like you're saying, like really listen in and break some of the old rules or the old things, conventions that they may have grown up with or they may be learning or getting, you know, infused by. So I think it's as a channel, auditory channel, I think podcasts and you are going to reunite at some point.
Yeah, I'm very open to that. I just, as you know, life's changing. When I started this project 7 years ago, I was single. I just transitioned work. I had, $0 to my name. I lived in my friend's basement apartment. And since then, I mean, I've traveled the world before. Don't get me wrong. My life was pretty amazing. But since then, I've, you know, built my own business at this point very successfully. I've just gotten married, as you know, which is a huge step. I am a few steps away from starting a whole new chapter as a married man and, you know, building a family and all of these things that are in front of me. So it's just a very different stage in my life. And looking back at 7 years ago when I started this, 7 years in, you know, Steiner's anthroposophy is a very important cycle, a very important number. Actually, it is also in human developmental stages of like the first 7 years of brainwave development and the second 7 years and the third. Lots of things people can Google, but basically 7 years is an interesting cycle. And so what I came up with a couple of weeks ago is like, let me land this at 360 and make this full circle review, 360 episode. And let's invite Hope in and have this conversation with me and then just hit pause. You know, if it's pause for 6 months or if it's a pause for good for the label Green Planet, Blue Planet. But as you know, that won't stop me from putting more things out there. And you and I just did a thing called Breaking the Rules of Business as Usual. I highly recommend to check it out. Breaking the Rules of Business as Usual. It's not a podcast. It's a short series of videos, 11 videos in total, that, you know, we've invited people for roundtable conversations, which I really loved as a format, like having three people, four people, five people in a room. It, you know, one of the things I like most about the roundtable, there's two things I love most. One is who speaks when and practicing that with each other.
Yeah.
And then the
without practice as well, practicing it with each other without practice. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's what I mean. Like practicing that with each other in real time. Right. And then the second thing is it's much easier to just agree or disagree or like, when it's two people. But the moment that there's three, four or five people at some point in an episode, someone will say like, I don't actually agree with this. Here's something else to consider. And that part of human dialogue is so important. It's so dynamic. We've gotten so used to the silos of information and to the short attention spans of like, sounds good. Let's keep going. And I think it is one of the antidotes of the spoken word of, you know, podcast as a format is we can dive much deeper and we can disagree with each other and we can healthily do so You know, and that's what I love about Breaking the Rules of Business as Usual as a series, is there's a little bit of friction in there in the best sense possible. What did you like about that series, Hope?
Well, from start to, it's not finished, but from inception, which was, for me, my experience was not being a guest on your podcast, but meeting you in person. And we did have that shared love of breaking the rules, of traveling the world, of loving people. And you did your visioning, as you do, and you cast that vision for what would happen if we brought people of different generations, different cultures, different genders together. Hope, what would happen? I don't know. Let's try it. Why not? And we did. And it was probably not like you and I do our other projects. I know, speaking for myself, it was beautifully emergent. The people who showed up were pretty amazing guests in a panel. They'd never met each other. And it was like a tango dance. Not that I'm an amazing tango dancer, but how I would think of dancing tango. And I think the themes that were coming up that you talk about a lot, it was definitely infused, is freedom. And for people who are looking to explore what does freedom look like in their lives, in whatever frequency, flavor, we had so much of that in our dialogue, naturally unfolding. What does freedom look like? What does it feel like? What does it taste like? How does it hurt? How does it, you know, cause us to evolve? And I think that is on many people's minds right now, freedom. And also who to listen to, who to be mentored by, whose words do I want to pay attention to? And so wrapped up in these 11 engaging series episodes, we landed that, I felt. What about you?
Yeah, I like you pick up freedom. I think it's the most important topic of our modern world, is like, what does freedom mean?
Yeah.
What does it entail individually and then collectively? As I said, I enjoy the round table format, that being exposed to different perspectives, right? Like we had literally people from, I think like all over the world. I mean, not every country, of course. We had 22 guests on there, so that we couldn't match that. But there was quite a bit of an international flair, and I enjoy that. I've traveled to more than 60 countries. I've lived in quite a few of them and speak a few languages, as you know. And the reason why I mentioned that is because life's just so much richer in color, you know, like when you have all the different shades of gray, or, you know, the full spectrum. And I would call freedom like full spectrum freedom, you know, includes, I think, five pillars, you know, time, money, relationships, alone time, right? Mm-hmm. Alone time, because it's part of freedom is to, am I actually at peace with myself? Mm-hmm. Time, money, relationships, alone time, and purpose, right? So do I actually know why I'm here? Do I do something that that I feel proud of, that I feel connected to, that I feel is moving through me rather than I'm just making it happen? And so that's what I think is full spectrum freedom in a certain way. And we've touched on that in this series, you know. And so at the end of this episode here for the Green Planet, Blue Planet, check out alterbraintrust.com, where we are hosting the first steps of what is very likely going to turn into a real brain trust, you know, and that's called Breaking the Rules of Business as Usual. I'll link it out in the episode.
And dare I say, we have had requests of people saying, I want to meet some of these people. I want to meet Hope and Julian. And you and I can agree that podcasts, audio are incredible as sparks for information, for inspiration. I think human connection is what a lot of people are longing for. And it's definitely something you and I are marinating on for the future.
100%. I mean, this is maybe a great way to close it also on my end, is I love meeting people in person. I love events. I've hosted so many events in the last, you know, 10, 15 years. And there are few things that are more purposeful than coming together with the right set of people and diving deeper into one's own evolution, one's own journey, and also creating like takeaway things that then infuse the way we live life, the way we play business, the way we build the world around us. So there will be more. This is not the end. This is just wrapping at 360 degrees of the circle of regeneration for Green Planet, Blue Planet podcast.
What an honor to share this with you, Julian. And as you say, as I say, continue to invest in bonds. I'm investing in your bond. I'm sure you've invested in so many people who've crossed your podcast path.
Yeah, investing into bonds, not stocks, but the bonds of relationships. I love that. You brought that into my life. It's definitely a powerful way to understand relationship is we actually have to invest into that, right? It's not something that just happens to us. And so thank you, Hope, for being here with me today, for asking me questions, for listening to my answers. And for doing a thing with me. Go check out.
You.
I love you. This was great.
Bye.